You stand together. I want to remind you, next Sunday, special Sunday, first time we've ever done this, we're having Cinco Sunday on Sunday night. I want to encourage you to be here for that, as our Spanish church will be joining us in the p.m. service, and after that, we're going to have an all-you-can-eat Spanish buffet in the gym. Our classes are going to be providing that. Looking forward to a good time. So be here for that. Support the Spanish ministry of our church, and obviously, Mother's Day coming up real soon. Be sure you're making plans to be here for that. And one more thing, if you were here or weren't here on Wednesday night we had a special opportunity presented to us about a Land of the Bible tour, an experience on the Holy Land, or to go to the Holy Land in January of 2025. If you were not here but want information on that, we have a few of the packets left, but also Brother Bo has the QR code that you can scan with your phone and get information about the trip. Very affordable trip to see the Holy Land in 2025. I'd encourage you, if you're interested in going, see us about that, and we'll get you an information packet so you can be a part of that. Mark chapter number 12, and if you're there, look down to verse 41 if you don't mind. And this is a passage I preached out of just the other day at the homegoing service for Miss Jackie Gardner. And as I was preparing that, the Lord led us to verse 41 and the message we're going to preach for you today. Mark chapter 41, and we'll read our chapter number 12, verse 41. I'm sorry. If you find 41 chapters in Mark, let me know, okay? Verse 41, the Bible says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much." And then watch verse 42. We have our main character here. "And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this passage, and I thank you for the testimony of this dear lady. And I pray that, Lord, we would learn, Lord, what you would have us to and why you preserved her story here today. Lord, in the brief time that we'll have, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would make known the truths, Lord, today that we need to go home with. Help us not to leave them here today, but Lord, help us be challenged by them, accept them, and be changed by them as well. Be with our church, Lord, the people who are not here today for whatever reason. I pray that, Lord, you bless those who are uniting with us over the live stream, but meet with us all today, and I pray your will be done, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, up until now, as we've been preaching through our theme this year on encountering Christ, most of the encounters have been one-on-one personal encounters with Christ, where people have interacted with him, where Christ in his earthly ministry has come in contact with people and had the opportunity to personally minister to them. Today is going to be a little bit different, because the encounter that we just read about is one that he knew about, but she did not know about, okay? Now, this is important for us to grasp today. The lady that we just read about had no idea that Jesus was watching her from a distance as she went about her service to him that day. Now allow me to pause there just for a moment. Whether you realize it or not today, God is paying very much attention to what goes on in this service today. Whether or not you take notice of him, his word, and what he desires to do in your life today, God is taking notice of you and how you worship him today. Now, folks, this bears mentioning this morning, because oftentimes I think that we think that God thinks like we think. All right? Do I need to say that slower? We'll put it that way. I believe we think that God thinks like mankind does. I'm so glad God does not think like mankind does. I'm thankful today that God's ways and his thoughts are much higher than our ways and our thoughts. But here's what I think we get off on the thought process of. Because God is not in the forefront of our mind, that maybe perhaps we are not in the forefront of his. But it couldn't be further from the case. You look at this passage here. Here's a lady. We don't even know her name. I preached that at Miss Gardner's homegoing. We did not even know this lady's name, and yet God was paying attention to her. And you may think today that nobody here knows who I am, and I'm no one of notoriety and no one of position, and yet God is not only paying attention to her, but he's paying attention to us. If you go back and read in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, chapter 3, you'll find a repetitive statement mentioned over and over again. As he speaks to the churches, he says this, I know thy works. I know thy works. It's amazing, the different churches had different things going for them, some good, some not so good. Church at Ephesus, some good, some not so good. Church at Laodicea, a lot not so good. And yet in all of the cases, what did he say to the churches? I know thy works. This morning, can I tell you that bears true for not only those churches, but Central Baptist Church as well. I know thy works. And let's zoom in a little bit closer. He knows our works individually. That just as Jesus was sitting over watching as people came and gave their offering and to the treasury that was there and paying attention, he's paying attention today. You may not pay attention, but God's going to be paying attention today. And I believe the account here of this widow with her two mites should show us that this service is important to God. It ought to be important to us. A.W. Tozer said this, if the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. But if the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the early New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. You see, they had a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God in their worship. It was not just a mechanical thing they were going through. They were worshiping God and they were worshiping scripturally in spirit and in truth. And if the Spirit had been removed, then all that they were doing would have fallen flat. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This just may be church to you today. I just came to church. I got to check this box today because my kids will think ill of me or my neighbor will think bad of me. And yet to God, this service is important today and he is paying attention to what we do in this service today as he was paying attention in the life of this dear lady. Now, I think about the song that we teach our kids. Oh, be careful, little feet where you go. I can't remember what order they're in, okay? It's been a while since I sang it. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you watch. And then what does the chorus say? For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Could I encourage you this morning just to be a little bit careful in the service today? Because the Father up above is looking down in love, and the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And what we do in this service today may not matter to you, and you may have already made up your mind you're not going to do anything in this service today, but it matters to God. And this passage shows us just how much it matters to God. Oftentimes, I think we come to church, we go through the motions. Nothing ever really happens. Nothing is lasting. There's no change that takes place. And yet, God is peering deep inside the hearts of all of us who are here. I read a story a while back about the early 1900s. The automobile was really beginning to take the roads of America. And there was a gentleman driving a car, and it was kind of new to him, and he broke down and was on the side of the road, and he didn't know what to do. I mean, being a mechanic was a new thing. Automobiles were a new thing. And he's standing there and he's looking at it and he's turning the key and he's pulling the gears and he just can't get his car to run anymore. After a while, this gentleman pulls up behind him in his car and stops and begins looking over the car. He said, what's the matter? The man says, I don't know. The man says, do you mind if I take a look? And the gentleman says, feel free, go right ahead. So he popped the hood and looked over in the hood and began to tinker. And he heard the turning of a wrench and he heard the tapping on something. And after a while, he says, turn the key or push the button. And he turned the key and the car cranked up. He says, how did you know what to do? Based on a true story. The man says, I'm Henry Ford and I built that car. And I know what goes on under that hood. Can I tell you this morning, you may not know what's going on in this world in your life, but you have a Father who can peer deep inside the hood. And I'll tell you what God wants to do today. God wants to look under the hood today. God doesn't want to just look on the outside and say, yeah, you look like a church person. No, he wants to pop the hood today. And he wants to look deep inside and what's going on under the hood, because that's what matters. It's the heart that matters to God. God looks on the inside. Man looks on the outside. We look at stature and prestige, and we look at acclaim, and yet God wants to pop the hood. Why? Because he knows what's going on under the hood. If we're going to see a change in our church, in this country, and this church reaches this city, God's going to have to look under the hood and see what's going on in here. Now you say, why are you saying that? Well, I want you to see something. I have never preached on verse 41 before, but we're going to preach on it today. I preached out of it, but not what we're going to preach on today. Never noticed something until I was preparing for Miss Gardner's homegoing service, and I saw one three-letter word. Watch what verse 41 says. Jesus sat over against the treasury. I want you to watch what he was beholding. And beheld how. How. That's a very important word. It doesn't say that Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld what. It doesn't say Jesus was watching to see who was going to give what. Watch what the Bible says. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. You know, oftentimes in people's eyes, what we do matters most. What we do. In this life, I've got to leave my mark. I have to get my name on a plaque somewhere. Something is dedicated because of what I did in this life. Why do we look at athletes the way we do? It's because of what they do. Why is Michael Jordan the GOAT? It's because of what he did. What he did. What he did. Why do buildings become named after people and bridges named after politicians who had the money allocated for that? It's because of what they did. In the eyes of man, what we do matters to us. That's what matters, what we do. I've got to accomplish something. I've got to be somebody in life. But if you'll notice, verse 41, Jesus was more concerned with how they did rather than what they did. Matter of fact, when you look at verse 38, 39, and 40, we might take the time to read that. Jesus was criticizing what they did because of how they did it. He's speaking of the scribes and the Pharisees, basically the hypocrites. All they were concerned is what they did, not how they did it. And he says, yes, they're doing this, this, and this, and that, that, and that, but it's how they're doing it that matters to me. God says in verse 40, Christ says, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense. He says, yes, they do this, and they do this, and they do that, and they do that, but how they do it is wrong. And Jesus says, I'm looking into how you do what you do. Now, hear me out this morning. Coming to church is what you've done today. That's great. Singing is what you've done today. Going to Sunday school is what you've done today. Listening to the preaching is what you've done. But here's the question when we walk out today. How did you do it? How did you do it? Because you can go through all of the motions of worship if you want to. And what you did can all be excluded by how you did it. And what your heart was when you did it. The word how means this, in what way? In what way? You see, our how is simply this, a reflection of our heart. You came to church today, but how did you come? You came to church, but what kind of a heart did you bring when you got here? You see, that's what God's looking at. He doesn't want to look at it and say, well, you're here, let's check the box. No, no, no. Jesus today, the Bible says, well, there's two or three gathered, he's in the midst, so I don't know where he's at. But I believe he's doing what he did in verse 41. He's sitting over against the treasury, beholding how the people. He wants to look under the hood. Can I ask you this morning, how do you do? How do you do? What kind of a heart did you bring with you today to worship? This morning, we often leave here thinking we did what we were supposed to do because we showed up. My question is, how did you show up? How did you show up? Now, folks, hear me out. You may think this service is going to go unnoticed. This lady undoubtedly thought her service went unnoticed. And yet the eyes of Christ were fixed upon her and how she worshiped him. The eyes of God are fixed on every heart here this morning. And yeah, you're here, and yeah, you look good, and thank God you're here, and thank God you look good. But the question is, how are you going to worship today? What kind of a heart did you bring in here today? Because this morning we're going to look at an unnoticed encounter. It was unnoticed to her, but not unnoticed to God. And this morning we're going to show you how she did what she did and how we should do what we should do when we come to worship God. I want you to notice what was so remarkable to Christ. The Bible says in verse 41, she cast money into the treasury, and many that were there, rich, cast in much. Verse 42, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Now stop right there. I'm going to show you what I believe Christ saw, how she did what she did. You notice here she comes and no one knows what she has in her bank account. No one knows what she has in her back pocket. All she has is what she's going to put in that offering plate. And yet the Bible says in verse 42, she threw it in. She wasn't forced to do it. She didn't have to do it. She just walked up to there of her own accord and dropped in all that she had. And I believe that's the first key into how she did what she did. Notice number one this morning, she came willingly. She came willingly. There's no one telling her she has to give what she's giving or doing what she's doing. I want you to understand this, that pleasing God oftentimes, listen to me, isn't about the amount of what you do, it's the heart that you do it with. And all throughout Scripture, we read time and time again that as our Father looks down, you know God doesn't need our money and God doesn't need your talent. God doesn't need your opinion. God doesn't need your intelligence this morning. But God blesses us with talents and God blesses us with resources to be able to serve Him with. But as we come to serve God with our voices and with our presence and with our obedience, oh, we read throughout Scripture all too many times that our Father expects a willing heart. That's how we're supposed to do it. You can come and you can stand behind this pulpit and you can sing as good as anybody who has ever sung on planet Earth. And you can put on a show that glorifies you, but at the end of the day, if God looks under the hood and God says it's how you did it that wiped it all away, then it was all for naught. Because it's not about what we do, it's about how we do it. And let me give an example. I've told you before, there's years ago, I went to a timeshare presentation. We were poor and couldn't go on vacation, but this guy at Bass Pro told me that if I listened to a timeshare, I could get two nights hotel in Orlando, Florida for $50. My deal. So we went to the timeshare presentation. Leslie and I are sitting in the car. We pull up there. Miley's in the back seat. I says, okay, we are not buying anything. We can't afford to buy anything. We're only here for the free hotel, or the cheap hotel. We walk in to the timeshare thing, and the guy says, first question out of his mouth, how many of you said in the parking lot, we're not buying anything? Well, I had to be honest. I raised my hand. I'm like, number one, there's no money to get out of me. Number two, I made up my mind, and you're not going to change it regardless. And I'm going to tell you, I think that guy took me as a challenge. Ask my wife. He jumped up on the table with both feet, and he is selling it. I mean, he is selling it. And boy, I tell you, for 50 years, your family can come down and enjoy the beautiful sunshine of South Florida within driving distance of all the amusement parks, and it only costs you this much. And Mr. Andrews, if you just didn't eat out twice a week, you could afford this. Well, I probably don't need to eat out. You know, and I got to think about it, and Leslie's like, no. Look, I walked into that place with an unwilling mind. You can jump on the table, you can shout, you can make all these offers, but I don't plan on going home with nothing. You're not getting anything out of me. I've made up my mind, and I'm unwilling to buy what you're selling. And we never say that, but boy, I tell you, I believe that's how we come to church sometimes. God could jump up on this pulpit. God could scream and shout. You say, well, if he did, I'd listen. But if you listen to the Holy Spirit of God, I promise you, he's whispering. And he's trying to show us what his will is for our life. The problem is we don't come willingly. That's our problem. We don't. We walk in the doors and we're expecting to do one thing, and that is leave. John chapter number 4, verse 24. I mentioned this a moment ago. The Bible says God is a spirit and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, stop right there. Just hear me out. Notice God is defining how we worship. We're living in this worship culture. Well, I worship God here, and I worship God there, and I worship God that way, and I worship God this way. Can I tell you, if God is the object of your worship, you're going to worship the way God says and how God says. And God says that I am a spirit. And if you worship me, you must worship me in spirit and truth. God says, I'm telling you how to worship me. God can define how you and I worship. So what is that saying? That's saying if we truly desire to encounter Christ in worship, how we come matters. He said, well, just be glad that I'm here. Well, I am glad you're here. But just because you show up doesn't mean you're going to encounter Christ. Do you know why? Because you may not be coming how God says you ought to come. How should we come? We ought to come willingly. Matthew 15:6, the Bible describes, or 15:8 describes the church today, I believe. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. The people, they draw nigh unto me with their mouth. They're singing the right things. They're saying the right things. The problem is their heart is far from me. God says, I'm popping the hood, and I'm looking in on the heart, and you've not come with the heart that you should have to worship me. He says, you're saying the right stuff, and I hear what you're saying, but I also see beneath the hood. I believe with all of my heart today. Last night I was sitting in bed and studying Mark chapter number 12, But when I got to that spot where he says, how? Jesus was watching how? Can I ask you this morning, how are you doing? How are you doing? Are you coming this morning with a willing heart? If God wanted to totally overhaul your heart, would you let him today? You say, well, I'm not sure. Well, then you're not willing. And no wonder we're not having an encounter with Christ, because we don't expect God to do anything because we're not willing to let him do anything. I believe the greatest hindrance this morning to God's will is man's will. The greatest hindrance to God's will is man's will. You say, well, I don't know. You say, well, God's all powerful and God's omniscient. Yeah, absolutely. He knows everything. He is all powerful. He's omnipotent. But wait a minute. He also says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet every day men and women die and go to a devil's hell. Why? Because they weren't willing. People go to hell not because God wasn't willing. It's because they weren't willing. And we say, well, I'm saved. Praise God for that. Your name's written down. Heaven's your home. You know where you're going. That's great. But can I ask you something this morning? Don't you desire to have a genuine encounter with Christ? Then how you come matters. The heart you come with matters. And that's what God is looking for. The Bible says he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 speaks about giving. Verse 7 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly over necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Do you know what that word cheerful is? It tells us how we give. How? It didn't say, boy, God just loves to get all that he can get. Remember, God doesn't need what we got in the first place. God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves someone who gives how? Cheerfully. Can I ask you this morning, how are you doing? Not what are you doing. How are you doing? Matthew 23:37, a very sad verse, where Jesus says to the people, how often would I have gathered you under my wings? As that mother chick would gather her chicks under her wings. He says, how often would I have done that? But here's what he says. And ye would not. And ye would not. Do you know what he's telling them? You weren't willing. God says, I was willing. I desired that encounter with you. You weren't willing. You wouldn't allow me to pop the hood and to show you that how you're doing, what you're doing is wrong. We pacify ourselves that we're doing something. Well, God should just be glad that I'm here today. Well, I am glad you're here. I'm sure God's glad you're here. But what matters to him is how you're here. He didn't say he was watching over at the treasury to see what she gave. It says no. It says how the people cast money. And he noticed that this woman was willing. When I was probably about 12 years old, my mom took my brother and sister and I to a race up at the Prentice Nursing Home. I forget what the race was about. We're running around downtown Prentice, and I guess mom thought we needed some exercise and signed us up, you know. Back when I was a kid, they didn't ask you what they wanted you to do. They just told you. I know that's weird, but they did. Even races, and she signed us up for this race, and they had different age groups for the race. They had the adults, and they had kids, and all this, and lo and behold, if I remember correctly, I was the only person in my section, my only race. I was the only person in that age group to run in the race, so I took off. I'm running around town, all this. I get back, and they put a medal around my neck. First medal I ever won in my life. And they're like, first place, Jeremiah Andrews. They put this medal around my neck. I'm like, what? I won? Like, yeah, you were the only person in that group, and so therefore you won. You mean I just showed up and ran? Was willing to run around the neighborhood? Yeah, and no, you won. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed how much you'd accomplish for the cause of Christ if you're just willing. One day you're going to get to heaven, and boy, we'll be at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and boy, our rewards will begin to come. And you're going to see people that you've never heard of, who never preached on TV, never got their messages published in the Sword of the Lord. Maybe people in this church that you didn't even know their name, never took the time to get to know them. Medal after medal after medal, crown after crown after crown. And you're thinking, how did they do that? I never saw them sing. I never heard them teach. I never saw them give by a gospel tract. How? You'll find that God really values those that are willing. Those that were willing. That's how they did what they did. He's beholding how we do what we do. Matthew 18:20, the Bible says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Can I ask you this? I counted, there's more than two or three. The guys on the front row, y'all can verify that for me. Do some counting, make sure there's more than two or three here. The Bible says he's in the midst. Can I ask you something? If he's sitting over by the way today and he's looking underneath the hood, how are you doing? Not what you're doing. How are you doing it? Well, I'm here and I sang and I graced everybody with my presence. I can tell you how you're doing. Not very well. Because what he wants is that heart that is soft and willing to seek to serve him the way that he desires to be served and worshiped. Number one, notice she came willing, but then watch this. You keep reading, the Bible says in verse 42, this certain widow, she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Jesus calls over his disciples, teachable moment here is what's happening. And he tells them that she did more, and watch verse 44, the Bible says, "For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had." Not only do we see how she came, but notice we see how she gave. The Bible says in verse 42, she cast in more. Or verse 43, she cast in more. Even all her living. Number one, not only did she come willing, but notice she gave fully. She gave fully. Remember, it's not about what, it's about how. Because what she gave was very little. What she gave was very little, but it's how she gave. How did she give? What impressed Jesus so much that he called the disciples over and he says, "Fellas, I want you to look at that woman right over there. And what she did was small, but how she did it was great. Because she did it, what? Fully." So what do you mean by that? Well, if you'll notice, she held nothing back from God. Can I ask you again, how are you doing? How are you doing? You say, "Well, whatever God desires of me, he has." Well, be careful this morning, because fully encountering Christ is only available to those who fully are surrendered to Christ. We want to have a full encounter and a close encounter with Christ, and yet the problem is we will not surrender that to him. We want God to have all of us and to work in all of us and to work through all of us. The problem is we won't give him all of us. We hold on to whatever our mites are. And it could be your talent. It could be your time. I don't know what it is, but you know what you have to offer God. And we walk up and we're like, "Nope, I'm holding on to that." Let me tell you something. You'll never fully encounter Christ until you're fully surrendered to Christ. And the reason this lady was marked and pointed out by Christ is because she gave fully. That's how she did what she did. Can I ask you again, how are you doing? How are you doing? The problem is, oftentimes we hold back from God when we come to church. It's not mites that he needs. It may be your time. It may be your surrender. I'll give you an example. I think about Abraham. I talked about him in Sunday school this morning. You think about the encounter Abraham had with God. Abraham is up on a mountain with God about to sacrifice his son and being obedient to God, and God intervenes at the last moment. God says, don't touch him. God provided that ram in the thicket. What an encounter. Wouldn't you love to have an encounter like that with God? Where God undoubtedly shows up in your life and you're like, look, that was not fate, that was not chance, that was not luck, that was God. But I have no doubt that was God that showed up in my life. And boy, we want that. Boy, I wish I had a testimony like him, and I wish I had a testimony like hers, where it's undoubtedly God did that for them. Watch this. What an encounter. But wait a minute. What a surrender. Because before he had that encounter with God, he was willing to surrender his son. I believe the reason we miss out on those encounters is because we lack that kind of surrender. No, God, don't ask for that. If we're all honest today, and look, I'm right here with you, okay? If we're all honest today, we would admit that there are things in the back of our heart that we don't want to let go of. God, if I think some of us would do the worst thing in the world. What is that? What is it? What would surrender to be a missionary? We'd be a missionary before we let go of some of what we cling to in our heart. And God says, how you give is reflective upon what you're getting out of it. And because you're not giving fully, you're not letting go, what does it say? Watch what it says. This poor widow hath cast in more. The Bible says, verse 44, all that she had. She was fully surrendered to God. And oh, what an encounter she had with him. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What an encounter, huh? To be in the fire, walking around with the Son of God. I want you to think about this. We think, how amazing would that have been to be down there and Jesus show up in the midst of your adversity? Oh, how wonderful that would be. But if you recall, before they ever went in the fiery furnace, they said this: our God is able, but if not, we're not going to worship. We're not going to do things your way. If not, watch this. You know what that was surrender. So Abraham had to surrender something dear in order to have that encounter. But now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are having to surrender to the difficulty. I want to tell you that sometimes is harder than surrendering something dear. To where you are accepting that in the will of God, I am surrendering to accept the difficulty in order to be fully sold out to God. That God, I'm not going to hold myself back from difficulty or adversity. I want to be fully surrendered so I can have a full encounter with Christ. Abraham had to surrender something dear. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to surrender to what was difficult. But then think about Moses. I'll give you one more. Hebrews tells us a little bit about the backstory of Moses. The Bible says that he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, that's not something that oftentimes we are going to find ourselves there, but I think as the world rocks on and becomes more evil and dark, you're going to have to make that choice. The Bible says he chose that rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Could I give you one more this morning that might help you? It may be the most difficult. Because of who Moses was, he deserved Egypt. That was coming to him. That was coming to him. And yet he let go of what he deserved in order to have that encounter with God where he would get to see the Red Sea part, the manna from heaven, the water from the rock. Can I tell you this morning, if you're not careful, you're going to let what you hold dear, what is difficult, and what you think you deserve to hold you back from having an encounter with Christ. When this dear lady with just two mites was willing to let go of what she had in order for her to give fully. Can I ask you this morning, how are you doing? How are you doing? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, the Bible says, my son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Your heart is your desires. Your heart is the seat of your emotions. Your heart is your mind. God says, give me the whole thing. Not part of it. Don't just give me a portion on Sunday. He says, my son, give me thine heart. Why? Because God will do way more with it than you can. But we got to be willing to be surrendered. I wonder this morning, it may not be two mites that you clutch within the grips of your spiritual hand, but you're holding on to something. And you're wondering this morning, can I let that go? Can I let go what I hold dear? Can I let it go and encounter the difficult? Can I let it go what I think I deserve? Absolutely, you can let it go. Why? Because Jesus is watching. And it matters to him that we serve him fully. Years ago, I think I've told you this before, but I'm young and don't have a lot of illustrations, okay? So I have to get older and I'll get more. Had a man in our church, he was mean as a hornet. My dad pastored him. I would later pastor him. Mean as a hornet. He used to say, first time my dad ever went visiting with him, I can't remember if I was with you when I went and saw him, when you went and saw him. He said, I used to sit in my house and watch preachers drive down the driveway and just lick my lips at what I was fixing to tell them. And he would. He would. For a young preacher boy, boy, he let me have it on many occasions. Finally, one day he came and sat in the office in our living room, and he's sitting on the couch, and I'm sitting at my desk, and he's going back and forth. Rah, 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 rah. And I looked at him, I said, Brother so-and-so, what is your problem? What is your problem? I said, because nothing I do is right in your eyes, and you got every idea better than me, and all this, all that. What is your problem? What is your problem? And all of a sudden, buddy, the veins begin to pop out on his forehead. That's when you know somebody's really mad. His pupils got really small. And he says, because I'm supposed to be doing what you're doing. And when I was your age, God called me to preach. And I said no, because I wanted to be rich. And all these years, he was poisoned by what he refused to surrender. He didn't let go of it. God says, I want you, I'm calling you. And he had charisma, he had speaking skills, he could do it all. And yet, he thought it would be a lighter load to hold on to what God said, let go of. Can I just encourage you this? You'd be amazed at how heavy two mites can get. You'll be amazed at how heavy two mites will get. Something that God says, let go of. It's like the old story over in Africa, in the Congo, the way that they catch the monkeys is they'll grab these melons and they'll take those melons and they'll cut a small hole in that melon, and inside of it they'll stuff all kinds of fruits and they'll stuff nuts that that monkey likes. That monkey will go and he'll stick his hand down in that melon trying to get them out, but when he puts them in his hand to pull out, now the fist will not fit out the hole that they've cut in the melon. And so here comes the farmer to catch the monkey. I guess they're going to eat him, you know. And they're coming along, and the monkey is trying to get away, and the monkey's jumping, but the melon's tied to a rope that's tied to a tree. And the only way that that monkey is going to get off of that melon is to let go of what he has his hand on. If you don't let go of it, you're caught. This lady let go of all that she had. Notice what the Bible says in verse 44. The Bible says, she cast all that she had, fully let go. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, Brother Foote preached on Caleb the other night. We talked about Caleb. The Bible says, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went. Caleb was willing to be surrendered to God, and therefore at the end, he's the one who actually got what he was looking for. The Bible says he followed fully. Do you know what's going to keep you from surrendering to God fully? Watch this. Well, like in Abraham's case, what you hold dear. This means too much to me to let go of. And you think, if I let go of it, life's going to be hard. You have no idea how heavy those two mites are going to get. That thing that you hold on to and you hold dear, it would be best if you just did what she did, let go of it. Or maybe you're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You're thinking, but if I surrender to God, my life may get harder. I promise you, it's a lot harder if you don't. I could line people up. It would bear witness of that. How did she do? Well, verse 41, it says, he's beholding how. Number one, she came willingly. Number two, she gave fully. But then I want you to see something real quick in closing. If you look down to verse 44, the Bible says, the very end of this verse, the very end of the chapter, The Bible says that she gave even all her living. Now, I want you to think what she's down to. What is she down to? Nothing. She has nothing. There's nothing left. All her living was just given. There's nothing left to her name. Everything she had is now literally in God's hands. Okay, God, I did what you said. So she came willingly, but I want you to see how she left. She left literally living by faith. Because now she's trusting God. Number three, how did she give? How did she come? Well, she came willingly. She gave fully. Number three, notice she lived faithfully. She is now living completely by faith. You see, that's what happens when we let go of what is dear and what is desired and what is deserved. Say, God, I've let go of it. And God, it's all in your hands now. And God, it's up to you. And I'm just going to have to trust that, Lord, you're going to give me. Can I give you my opinion? I don't believe she starved to death. I don't believe she wasted away and died. I believe God took care of those who walk by faith. Matter of fact, is that what the scripture tells us in Romans? The just shall live by faith. He told the disciples, you go read Matthew chapter 6. He says, take no thought. Well, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do that, and I got to do that. No, he says, take no thought. He said, the only thing you should be thinking about is seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. He says, here, let me have it fully, and all these things shall be added. Can I tell you this morning, I believe what we're missing in our Christian life from having a true encounter with Christ, it's how we live. Verse 41, how we live. We're not living by faith. And as soon as she let go of what she was holding on to, now she's free to live by faith. Because she had no money. She had nothing else. The Bible says that was all her living. It didn't just say that's all she had in her purse. I can remember going to mom as a kid saying, Mom, can we buy this? And she'll say, well, I only have this much in my purse. Well, there's more in the bank, but that's all she had in her purse. No, the Bible says this is all her living. This is all she has. And yet now, in the absence of what she held on to, is a void filled with faith. You see, every time we substitute something in our heart, in our life, where God should be, we're missing the opportunity for that space of our life to be occupied and lived by faith. Well, I trust God, but, no. Either we're walking by faith or not. Either we trust him or not, and that frees us to be able to let go of whatever God says let go of. In our society, we have fairy tales, and at the end of the fairy tale, what happens? Come on, how long has it been since you read a fairy tale? They lived happily ever after. There you go. Some of you are embarrassed. Come on. They lived happily ever after. Now look, I do believe our Father wants us to be happy, but spiritually happy. In the life of a Christian, can I tell you what happened in this lady's life that should happen in our life as well? Not they lived happily ever after, but they lived faithfully ever after. We look at faith and we think of faith as being regular at something, all right? I'm faithful to church, I'm regular to church. It means so much more than just showing up. It means being true to it. It means I'm living by it. And now she is fully freed up to live by faith because of what she's let go of. So this morning, let me ask you one more time. How are you doing? Not what are you doing. How are you doing? That when God looks under the hood, what is he seeing this morning? He said, well, I'll tell you what I did. I went to church this morning and I'm coming back to church tonight. That's great what you do. But you know how you do it can wipe out what you do in one fell swoop. How's your heart? How's your heart? I know you came today, but what kind of heart did you bring? How did you come? This morning, Jesus sits over, and like the woman, he peers into every heart. And he's not watching what you say. Well, I didn't fall asleep the whole message. Amen. Amen. He's not watching what you did today. He's watching how you did it. He's looking deep into your heart. And he wants to see, as we preached a few weeks ago, what is your why? Not that you gave, but how you gave. Not that you came, but how you came. This morning, you're sitting on the side of a road and maybe difficult times in your life and you're spiritually broke down. And here comes Henry Ford, but instead it's God. He wants to look under your hood because he's the one who built it. He knows how it works. Can I ask you, would you be willing this morning to let God show you how you're doing? How you're doing. Because this morning you can fool me. It doesn't take much. Ask my daughter. She fools me all the time. You can fool me, but Jesus is still sitting over this morning, and he's watching. And he says, I really know how you're doing. And one day when you stand before God, the Bible says, watch this, for those who are lost, they will say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and do this and do this and do that? But it wasn't about what they did. The heart of the matter is what mattered to him. They had never trusted him as Savior. How are you doing today? God were to pop the hood, how do things look under there? And oh, if he put his finger on something this morning, could I just encourage you, whatever it is, let it go. Let it go. Let those two mites go. And then now you are free to fully live by faith. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, I thank you today for the privilege to be called a child of God.